Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. I want to thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. Welcome back. Yesterday, in an overview of Genesis 3, verses 14 through 19, we began a discussion on the justice of God. We saw that God gives his law, people break God's law, and then people are punished justly according to the law that has been broken. In the New Testament epistle of Romans, the Apostle Paul puts it this way, "Where there is no law, there also is no violation." That's Romans 4:15, just the second part of the verse. The apostle's point is God's punishment is just because God punishes by a law that has been broken. Had there been no law, there would be no violation, and therefore no punishment. But there is God's law, and when we violate it, we are punished accordingly. God elicits the truth from Adam and Eve. They both admitted to eating of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Each of them said, "I ate." So now God has proof and evidence of how they have broken his law. And here now before them is their just God speaking out his words of punishment, dispensing with his justice in this part of Genesis 3. And before we get into the specifics of what he says to them, I want to talk a little bit more about the justice of God. When we take the whole scripture together, we quickly learn that God's justice is essential to who he is. To know the one true and only God, the God of this Bible, is to know justice. So let's just take a quick tour through the Bible and hear some scripture that declares the justice of the living God. And I will begin in the Old Testament at Psalm chapter 89, verse 14. This is Psalm 89:14. "Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Loving kindness and truth go before you." The psalmist is saying a lot. Foundational to God's reign and rule, represented by his throne, is what? Righteousness and justice. This is why I say God's justice is essential to who God is. Next, we have Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 4. I'm reading Deuteronomy 32:4, "The Rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are just, a God of faithfulness and without injustice. Righteous and upright is he." Oh, isn't it wonderful how these words begin, "The Rock"? God is our rock. Now, the rock here is similar to the throne in our previous verse. This is a descriptive name of God. He is immovable. He is reliable. He is steady like a rock. He is our rock solid support. In prayer, use this name for God. Oh God, my rock. And the text continues, "His work is perfect, for all his ways are just." In your Bible, you will want to underline or otherwise highlight this. All of God's ways are just. At every time and in every way that God acts towards you, he is being just towards you. Next, the verse says, "God is without injustice." God cannot do that which is unjust. We are full of injustice, but God is full of justice. Haven't you done something that is unjust? Well, God only does that which is just. Friends, this is why if we are crying out for justice in this world, we need to cry out to God, because only God can provide perfect, just justice. Deuteronomy 4:32 adds that God is a God of faithfulness. Righteous and upright is he. The Lord is dependable, immovable, and strong like a rock. The Bible repeats the truth about the nature and character of God. The justice of God is on full display. And then we come to the book of Job, and to chapter 37 and verse 23, we read this. Job 37:23, "The Almighty, we cannot find him. He is exalted in power, and he will not do violence to justice and abundant righteousness." This comes from Elihu's speech to Job, and here Elihu speaks what is true. The Almighty is so exalted, he is so far beyond us that we cannot find him. God is exalted in power, and notice this, the Almighty will not do violence to justice. How right that is. If you have been paying close attention, then you will have noticed that God's justice and his righteousness are always mentioned together. As we have learned here on God is in the past, that's because those Hebrew words have a very close association. I will not take time now to go over that again, but perhaps you will bring that up in your memory or in your notes if you take any. God's justice and God's righteousness belong together. Are you with me? We're on a short tour of the scripture to learn about the justice of God, and thus far we have read Psalm 89:14, Deuteronomy 32:4, and Job 37:23. And now, if you would, keep that ear attentive, or turn with me in your Bible to John's Gospel chapter 5. In this section of John chapter 5, Jesus is proclaiming his deity. Jesus is God, and he is boldly declaring this when we catch up to him in verse 30. In fact, verse 30 summarizes that Jesus is equal with God. It's a bold claim, and it is true. Listen now to what Jesus says. "I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me." What a statement. My judgment is just. Because God is just, Jesus is just. The justice of God shines forth brightly from the Son of God. And the Greek root word here for just is the word dikaios. And it means correct and righteous. There is righteousness again. It means approved by God, just in the sight of God. Dikaios. And of course, the judgment of Jesus Christ is just because the judgment of God is just. As God's justice is on display in Genesis, so God's justice is on display through Jesus in John and the remainder of the New Testament. When each of us face the judgment of God for our lives, and we can be sure we will face him, here is what else we can be sure about. His judgment will be just. This is what Jesus said that day after he healed the paralytic on the Sabbath. And this brings to mind another Old Testament scripture, this time in the Proverbs. Just at the end of Proverbs 24 and verse 12, we read this, "And will God not render to a man according to his work?" The answer, implicit in the context, is yes, God will. God is an impartial judge. There is equal justice before God. Men and women do our work, and God renders his judgment based upon what we have done. And you know something? We will simply admit it. There will be no excuses at the judgment throne of God. He will have all the evidence against us lined up, and we will not squabble with him over it. Everything that has been said thus far is, of course, true. It has to be true because the Bible tells us this is who God is, and whatever the Bible says is true. And what is also accurate to say about God is that the justice of God includes the mercy of God. God is just and God is merciful. Let me quote from our friend Thomas Watson. He writes, "All God's attributes are identical and are the same with his essence. Though he has several attributes whereby he is made known to us, yet he has but one essence. A cedar tree may have several branches, but it is one cedar. So there are several attributes of God, but only one entire essence. His analogy is really helpful. There is one cedar tree with many branches. So there is God who is one in essence, but with many attributes. One attribute is his justice, and another is his mercy. Listen to one more verse in the Bible. This is the last one, I promise. It's a doozy. It is Ezra 9:13. The Old Testament book of Ezra is right before Nehemiah, and in the 9th chapter, at verse 13, we read this about God. You have punished us less than our sins deserve. There is the mercy of God. God has punished us less than our sins deserve. I'll bring this time together to a close by quoting again from the Puritan Thomas Watson and what he says about this verse, quote, God never did nor can do wrong to his creatures. God's justice has been wronged, but never did any wrong. What he means is that we have done wrong against the justice of God. We have sinned against God. But God's justice has never done any wrong against us. I continue with his words now. God might inflict heavier penalties than he does. Our mercies are more than we deserve, and our punishments less. Ezra 9:1 says, You, God, have punished us less than our sins deserve. There is a mercy in God's justice. And we will see this as we make our way not only through verses 16 through 19 of Genesis 3, but as we make our way through the Bible, where we will, of course, meet Jesus. Consider your life at whatever time of day or night you're listening to this. How can you apply what has been read in the Scripture about the justice of God, about the mercy of God? Have you been punished less than your sins deserved? Well, how will you respond to God based on what you've heard? I'll be thinking about this in my own life as well. And I already look forward to meeting you back here again tomorrow, for God is. Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. Mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.